Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and today I'm going to talk to three different quilters, designers that are out there doing just amazing work. They all have something, you know, pretty unique that we're going to talk about. The first one I'm going to talk to is Allison Glass, and Allison is a fabric designer, and her fabrics are the kind that when I saw them, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to have some of this. This is just great. It's the pieces that draw me in, her work, her artwork, and I really like it. I was able to meet her in person just a couple weeks ago when we were at the trade show. So this is exciting. Allison, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate it.
You know, your background is in design. Why did you sort of drift over and get involved in fabric design?
Yeah, you know, I've always loved fabric and color and pattern, and I had the family background for that kind of situation. But I was running a small business doing spaces and custom pieces for people, and I found that I was using a lot of the fabric from the quilting industry. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you know, the more and more of it I used, the more I loved it, and the more I realized what was going on in the industry, all the exciting fabrics that people were making. And, you know, at some point, I just figured out that people get to make the designs that go on those fabrics. And I thought it'd be really fun to get to do that, and started trying to figure out, okay, what's the route I can take to try to present my work and see if I can get it picked up, and kind of got a little maybe obsessed with the idea, but I really wanted to give it a try, you know, to see if it was something I could do. So that's how that came about.
Oh, that is really, really neat. I mean, it's like being able to sort of work with the fabric and then say to yourself, you know, hey, I really like, you know, I like design, so let's see where it goes.
Right.
Now, you actually quilt yourself, because you're not just a fabric designer.
I do. Right? I do quilt, yeah.
Have you always sewn? Because you were saying that, you know, you sort of come from a sewing background.
I would say that a lot of the sewing that I did before I really got more involved with designing fabric in the quilt industry had to do with sewing for home deck purposes, either for myself and my family, or especially for clients in the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, however long I was doing that. So lots of pillows and curtains and upholstery and all sorts of different things. But that was more of what I did, and now, you know, I've been doing a lot more quilting in the last, you know, couple of years. So
now you get to quilt with your fabric.
It's fun.
So let's talk about your design process, because everybody who designs fabric or quilts or anything, you know, has a process that's unique to them, from their background, their style, their eye. Your fabric's with Andover, right?
Yes, Andover.
So tell me a little bit about how you start a design.
You know, a lot of times I will sort of have a vision in my head of what I'm wanting to do, or an idea of something that I want to represent. And then I start by making sketches. A lot of times I take a lot of photos when we're out places, either on trips or just out in general. And I like to reinterpret things that I see. So
okay.
I'll start with sketching. On a lot of the times, it's whatever random piece of paper is there. I have a pretty big pile of little bits of things that I then pull from. And I'll take those and do a more finalized design with tracing paper and get it in a general repeat. And then I'll transfer that image into the computer and redraw in there and hand color everything. So it's kind of a step-by-step process, but I like the different steps because I feel like I get to really make a lot of choices along the way about, okay, this is exactly the way I want it to look and exactly the colors I want it to be.
Now, when you sketch, are you sketching like the design's full size, or does it really matter? Will you just figure that out later?
I would say that the size of the sketch isn't necessarily what it will be although I generally have in my mind, generally, the type of size I want it to be. So, you know, these things change, though. You know that. It sort of ebbs and flows, and sometimes you make adjustments based on what you need for the group. But a lot of times I would say with the either the highly detailed designs or the I've done a couple of really large-scale designs, those are ones that I tend to know more ahead of time where I want those to go, for sure. So
what is the current line that people can find in stores, Allison?
Well, Lucky Penny was my first line with Andover, and it is still available in some stores.
Okay.
Then I have quite a bit of new fabric coming out, and it's just all starting to hit between now and the end of the year. So there's three lines coming out. One is called Sunprint. It's a line of kind of stash builder blender type fabrics.
Oh, cool.
It comes in a large range of colors with the intention of being able to work it in with a lot of different projects that you're doing, that it will go well with a wide range of fabrics that someone's wanting to work with. There's six designs that come in nine colors each for a total of 54 fabrics, and they'll be released one group of nine a month starting in, well, anytime now. It's on its way, I'll put it that way. So hopefully by the beginning of August, stores might begin to start having that. And the first one that's coming out is Feathers, and the other four are beyond that. And then another more traditional group that's on its way is called Sunprint. It's a fun, bright line that is based on basically conversations I've had with my daughter, who's 11, about things that make her happy, things that are her favorite things. The main print has a lot of little images of things that she likes in it, although it's not intended to be a kid line. It is definitely fun and a bit fanciful with some interesting things in it. And then the rest of it all goes along with that. And then another line is Field Day that is due out in December right now, and it is kind of a follow-up to Lucky Penny. It has one really large-scale main print and then a lot of other things to go along with it, as well as the nine original bike path colors that were released with Lucky Penny. So there's a lot on its way, and I'm excited to get to see what people are going to do with all of it.
Oh, my gosh. That is like a ton of fabric. This is going to be so exciting. And it all, your colorways, they sort of go, you can build on them, right, like from one collection to the next.
Yes, that's definitely the idea, and very much the idea with the Sunprint line is that those would tie in with just everything, hopefully. Anything anybody might want to do, they could find some things in there that they could use.
You told me, like, from as a fabric designer, one of the things you enjoy about designing is building repeats, which I found fascinating because you know, I really like the professionals to do that part for me. That's hard.
Yeah.
Why do you like it?
Gosh, that's a fine question. I guess it's kind of like a puzzle. You know, you have to sit there and figure out, okay, this shape is going to fit in with this shape in this way. And I just enjoy it. I think it's kind of fun and interesting. I remember the first time I did it, it was on the train to Chicago, and I got there going, oh my gosh, look at this. I can make it repeat as many times as I want. This is really fun. So, I don't know. It's kind of neat. Although I do the nice art people at Andover often help clean it up and make sure it's just right. So, you know, I couldn't do it without all their help, for sure. So,
yeah, because for those who don't realize it, the repeat, you know, it has to be accurate for the printing process. So you have to, can't have it, you know, not repeat it perfectly, or it will be sort of not right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you also designed patterns to go with all your fabrics, right?
Yes. Building into some pattern design. I'm working with a friend of mine, Nydia Kenley, and we're doing some patterns together, and then I'm doing some of my own. But some of the ones I'm most excited about are the ones I'm working on with her. We have a set of embroidery patterns coming out that is based on the Clover Sunshine fabric group. And then we have a quilt design called Feathers that is based on the Sunprint feathers design. And it's going to be a really great, really versatile pattern that basically the blocks are, you can move them around and make different things. You could choose to make a pillow or put it on a skirt or make a different type of quilt than what we're showing. So we're excited to see what people will do with that one as well.
So the embroideries are going to be little, are there like a theme to each one?
Yeah, there's three sets. There's one, the first set is animal, based on the animals that are in Clover Sunshine. There's a bunny, a couple of birds, and a turtle. And then the second one is called crafts, and it has paint sets and paint brushes, scissors, some neat crafty things. And yeah, so I think that'll be fun to see.
Yeah.
And then the third one is flowers. So we pulled a number of the floral motifs out of the prints and made embroidery on those as well.
I absolutely have to have scissors. I'm gonna have to have that.
Yeah, it's fun. They're kind of neat. They have they're a little bit more detailed to it than some of the embroidery that's out there. They can be good standalone pieces as well.
So tell me, because we don't have much time left, but I'm always curious. When you go to a quilt show, what's the first thing you know that you like to look at? What draws you? Stumped you.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, I think the fun of this industry is the people that are in it, to be honest. And I love that part of going to things is getting to interact with people that are interested in the same sorts of things. And, you know, I just love that part of the kind of this quilting, modern quilting movement, or even the modern handmade movement that's going on, is that there's such an opportunity to explore new things and encourage people that maybe haven't tried to make things in the past to do that, and you know, to do it for the sake of that. It's a great use of your time to make something beautiful and timeless that can be cherished for a long time, and those relationships. So I probably didn't exactly answer your question, but that, to me, that's one of the funnest parts of quilt shows is just getting to interact with people. So
I totally agree, Allison, and this has been wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much.
It's American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll be right back.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, hello, Luscious, by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Get quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I was reading some blogs the other day, and I went on my friend Amy Gibson's blog, or her website, stitcherydockerydoc.com, and what she was doing was talking about an exhibit at the Denver Art Museum called Spun Adventures in Textiles, and I don't think I could shoot her an email fast enough to find out if she'd come on the show and talk about it, because not only is it in her hometown, but she had a piece in the exhibit, and it just sounds so exciting. So, Amy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I am great. So have you come down from the excitement of going to the museum to see your work hanging? That just was incredible.
Oh, I am just floating on air. You know, the museum, the exhibition's been open since May, and I just took my parents and my grandmother, who's 93 years old, just the day before yesterday, went and showed them, and they cried, of course.
Oh.
It was really emotional, but what an unbelievable experience. Just absolutely honored to be involved in that exhibit. So
tell me what the exhibit's about, because not everybody, you know, not all of us are going to be able to get to go to Denver, so we're living through you. And and you have, and on my website, I have a link to the post.
Yes, a link to my site, stitcherydockerydoc.com, and I have more information about the exhibition on there. And you can also just go to the Denver Art Museum, which I think is denverartmuseum.org. But the exhibit's called Spun. It is the largest exhibition in the history of the art museum, and Denver Art Museum is a very renowned art museum, but it's really an unbelievable exhibit. It's huge, and it's all textiles and fiber, and not just quilts. In fact, the quilts are kind of a smaller part of it, but tons of just fabric printing and, you know, the history of textiles and design, lots of ancient just pieces. It's really huge. It covers multiple floors. It's in multiple buildings. It's a really enormous. You could spend the whole day there. It's really unbelievable. But they have this one little area that has, it's called the Thread Studio, and I have a couple of pieces in that. And it was just such a such an honor to be asked. I was so flattered that they really were trying to make it a priority to involve local artists to be involved in the different sections. There were almost 20 different curators, a huge exhibit, but
wow.
I ended up doing a little paper piece, a mini quilt, a really parachute fabric that my grandfather brought home from France for my grandma to make her wedding gown from.
Really?
And I had been, yes, I have yards and yards of it. I've just been saving it, afraid to cut into it. I used a little bit of it at my wedding for a couple of little, keepsake pieces, and I wasn't quite sure what to do with it. And so I thought this was the perfect way to,
just gives you chills, doesn't it? We have a scarf. My family has a scarf that's parachute fabric from my father-in-law during World War II. He used it, and then we now have it. And so it's amazing fabric.
Oh, it was actually wonderful to work. It was great to piece with. It wasn't stretchy. It's kind of, the research that I did on it, and of course my grandmother and my grandfather both passed away, but so I couldn't get any info from them on it. But I think it's nylon. I was able to press it. And it pieced pretty well. I did stabilize it because it was pretty thin. Mm-hmm. But it's a little kind of intricate retro gown that I just, sketched out, designed. I paper pieced it, and it's just a really sweet little mini quilt.
Neat. So how long is this exhibit on for?
The exhibit is going to be up until September 22nd, so it's the whole summer. And then my piece, the Thread Studio, if you're in Denver or visiting Denver, is actually going to be on permanent display. Yeah, so that's even more exciting. I won't be getting it back, which is a little sad. I don't get it displayed in my home, but it's going to be in the museum indefinitely. So Yes, but September 22nd for the full textile exhibit, which is just unbelievable. Anybody stopping through Denver definitely needs to pop in and check it out. It's a really fantastic opportunity to just get a big slice of history with fiber arts. So
they really did go through all the ages then. They're, you know, from very old pieces to very new pieces.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. It's the scope of the exhibit is massive. And there's a lot of yarn and rugs and clothing, garments. A lot of it is very old, you know, really, really old stuff. And then some of it is newer. There's a quilt hanging that pieced, I want, in early 1900s, it might have been 1910, by a 10-year-old girl. And it's just this unbelievable, like, queen-size, hand-quilted, hand-pieced, just stunning. I was stunned by the quilt, and then I read that the girl was 10 years old, and I almost just collapsed. Yeah. So just some really unique things that are definitely worth spending some time at the museum to check out.
I read a quote that I believe, I don't remember if I read it on your blog post about it, that it was on one of the pillars. There's quotes all over the place. It's just incredible. And it says, "We make what we want to make, not what the world expects from a quilt," by Loretta Bennett, who's the daughter of Quinny Petaway, one of the G's Ben's, you know, quilters that were in the book and all the exhibits and stuff. I just thought that was really great because we make what we want to make. Did you like that quote?
Oh, I love it. That quote's hanging in the quilt studio. They have a studio on the main floor where you can go in and you can interact, and people can go in and make blocks and practice some hand quilting. It's an interactive thing, and that quote's hanging in there. And I just loved that idea, and I felt like it was so refreshing to work with the Denver Art Museum on this, because they really don't have any preconceived notions about, you know, what a quilt should be. And I know, like, us quilters, we get all sort of stressed out about, you know, the fabrics and the lines and this pattern and that. But, you know, we're very sort of, like, particular about the style. And at the art museum, the curators over there are just, they're all about art and all about just, like, expressing yourself and just letting it be organic, just so free. And it was just so refreshing to work with them and to sort of hear that perspective on quilting as really not just a craft that we do, but an art to express ourselves, and how there really is so much freedom in that and no judgment, you know, when you're just creating things that are beautiful. So, it was thoroughly an honor to work with them.
So you did your little dress with paper piecing. You're the paper piecing queen in my eyes of the moment.
I don't know how I became that. I feel like
I don't know
too.
How that happens to people. But, you know,
I don't either.
You have a sugar block club going on right now, which is just so, so fun, which is a project people can order from you. And a lot of it's paper pieced. And so, and I'm playing along, and it's quite the challenge, because that's not my first mode, my go-to thing. So can you just give me a couple of tips, a couple of paper piecing tips? Like, maybe just give two or three, you know.
You know, I mean, for me, it's so natural, but I feel like there are a couple of things. I mean, okay, there's the perforating of the lines. This argument seems to come up from time to time. I always stitch without my needle threaded along the lines before I start. For me, that makes a huge difference, because it's not just about the paper tearing off more easily when you're done stitching the pieces on, but also it, once you perforate that, it folds almost without you even trying. It's pre-folded. So it's, I feel like my stitching is a lot more precise when I perforate. Okay. So that's one thing that I do. I just use regular printer paper. I know some people buy you know, different kinds of paper, foundation paper that are specifically made for that at quilt shops. I just used copy paper for my printer, and I've always had really good luck with that. And you can still see through it, you know, hold it up to the window or a light.
How about one more tip?
Okay, let's see. Be generous when you're cutting your pieces out to fit in each patch. Like, people always kind of stress out about trying to get a piece that's the right shape or that's, you know, just make, if you're in doubt, make it like 2 inches bigger. It's always better to have some excess that goes in your scrap bin or that you throw away than to be short. So give yourself a buffer. That's helpful.
I think we all learned that lesson early on when we're trying to be skimpy on something.
Right.
It's just not worth it.
And I sometimes get criticized for that, but I try to never run skimpy on my patterns or when I'm piecing. I would rather have a little bit of excess, and either it goes in my scrap bin, and I'm always doing things with little tiny scraps, or it just, you know, goes to waste and it's not the end of the world. I would rather that than be stressing out with, you know, trying to be all exact and cut it really close. So I'm kind of the queen of that, whether you like it or not.
Yes. Well, that's okay. I like that part. That's good. That's goodness. So tell everybody your website again so they can visit you.
Sure. It's stitcherydickerydoc.com. And like Pat said, we have the Sugar Block Club going on right now. It's just like a series this year, monthly blocks that I email out, kind of like a fun little just quilt subscription. You get a pattern and a sweet dessert recipe every month, and we're all quilting the quilt together. Yes. We have a big old Flickr group going, and everybody's posting pictures and winning fabrics on the prizes.
Thank you, Amy.
So join us. Thanks for having me, Pat.
Okay,
bye-bye. Looking for fresh, bye-bye. Fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. And so for the next rest of the show, the second half of the show, we are going to be chatting with Faith Jones. Faith has been on before. She's back again. We're going to talk all kinds of super-duper stuff because she has some really neat things happening. And, you know, I wanted to go a little bit deeper, give us a little bit more time to talk about sort of things like community giving, you know, tutorials, tips, tricks, whatever. So anyways, I asked Faith if she'd come on for the second half of the show. So welcome back, Faith.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Now, Faith, your website is freshlemonsquilts.com. So tell us why you picked that name, because, you know, it's maybe a little different.
You know, when I started my blog, I wasn't really sure. I knew it was going to be about sewing and quilting, but I wasn't really sure what direction I was going to go in. Mm-hmm. So I was just starting to quilt, actually. So I just wanted to think of something, you know, that came to give a light, fresh sound to it. So that's what I came up with. There's not really a huge deep meaning.
I think there's lots of sites like that, don't you? I mean, especially when we first start, we're like, oh, let's pick this name. It's cute. And then
Right. Then
we live with it. That's
exactly. There's no changing it now.
Right. Everybody knows you by that. So it's what happens. It's good. It's all good. So when you first started working with fabric, you know, what was it that drew you, and then why does it still draw you?
Really, I've always liked, you know, creating things and just the color and the designs of fabric. And I think that's why I started quilting after my first quilt. You know, it's so addictive once you see all these wonderful fabric designers and the things they come up with. And, you know, it's why we all have these huge stashes, right? We see something and we may not have a project for it, but it's just beautiful and you want to work it into things. And when I started, you know, I thought, you know, I bought fabric for one project, and I thought, I have all this fabric. What am I going to do? Yeah. I'll never use this all, you know. It's probably 4 yards of fabric.
Yeah, right.
So,
I know.
It's just very addictive. So once you make one quilt, I don't think that you can stop.
Right. And do you actually do other crafts now, or are you pretty much quilting?
I'm pretty much quilting. I used to do, I've done a lot of pottery before and mosaic, but now it's pretty much quilting. You know, you only have so much time in the day you can dedicate to a craft, and at least for now, that's going to be quilting.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I have like this basket of yarn that, you know, like just stares at me, but, you know, I don't really play with it.
I tried knitting. I wasn't very good. I wish I could. I should take a class.
That's right. Tell me a little bit about the style of quilt that you are making now. And did you start with this style?
Lately, I've been really into modern traditionalism, which I'll kind of talk about what that is in a second. When I started quilting, I had this huge laundry list of things that I wanted to try, perusing everyone's blogs and then Flickr and social media. You know, there's a huge list of things I wanted to make. So I just slowly started making different types and kind of finding my own niche and style. And lately I've just really liked taking a traditional block or a block from the 1800s and using that in maybe a fresh or unexpected way through changing the colors of the block or the design, not using like a repetitive grid pattern, but thinking of a unique way to set up the quilt top that's a little more unexpected. And I've just had a lot of fun doing that and encouraging other people to do things like that.
So when we were talking, you know, earlier, you were telling me this is a bit, sort of being termed, or how you like to think of it, as modern traditional. And with the is it really a lot to do with the fabric? Do you feel like that's kind of a big key, the fabrics that are used?
Not necessarily. I mean, I do like some fabrics. Like Denise Schmidt's really good about taking, say, maybe old traditional designs and updating them, and really reaching, say, the modern quilting community with her fabrics that are based on a lot of the times traditional designs or vintage designs. Right. But for me, a lot of it is just taking a traditional block, and maybe you do change. Maybe you do change the colors of that block. Maybe it's just, everyone's used to seeing it in one way, and you change the colors or use fabrics in a different way to kind of breathe new life into it. A lot of it for me is just thinking of new ways to lay out the quilt top, instead of just doing a repetitive grid. Maybe you're only using part of it, part of the quilt top, and the rest is negative space, where you're mixing and matching different sizes of blocks. I just made a quilt like that where I used, anywhere from 18-inch to 6-inch blocks throughout the quilt top. Just kind of thinking of new ideas, of new ways to lay things out.
So what do you have, like a favorite traditional block? Do you have a go-to block?
I don't have a go-to block, although if it's a star, I really like stars. But I did just make one using the Arkansas Traveler block, which is on the little graphic you used for my talk today on your blog. It was a quilt I made for someone in our family who had gotten married. And this block is from the 1800s, so it's a really old block. And we had used it in a summer sampler series quilt along that I hosted with Katie of Swim Bike Quilt and Lee of Fresh Loop Yeast. So I've known the block for a few years. But I decided to kind of change up how I was making it and use just an individual color for each block and different shades of that color for each block. So if it's a navy block, I use different shades of navy prints, different shades of gray prints. And I alternated a pieced block with a solid, just square, 12-inch square of fabric that was the same color as the background. And it kind of created a nice chain look on the quilt. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was appropriate for a wedding quilt, kind of has that Irish chain or wedding ring look to it, but a more modern-y look for a younger couple. And the block, though, is, from the 1800s, very old block, but I think it really has a fresh look in the quilt.
And I really that's just an excellent way, Faith, of how you described what you did. I mean, that's really a different way of sort of approaching the block versus the way coloration is approached with a more traditional quilt. And also, did you pull like your gray that you're using, you also pulled that into each of the blocks so that it looks like they float?
Yeah, exactly, with the background color, with like a gray putty. Right. So it does look, it looks more complicated than it really is. You know, it's a time-consuming block for me to make that many of them, but it wasn't complicated. You know, anyone could make it. It's paper-pieced, but it was a simple paper-pieced block, and the finished effect, I think, is very dramatic.
It is. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
That was a hard one to give away.
If you like all these traditional blocks, are you keeping track of them? Are you sort of, you know, building your own sort of working library? I know that you have a book coming out soon, so I imagine that you may, with your friends, so I want you to tell me about that in a minute. But, you know, in the process of sort of the work you're doing, are you building some sort of library of blocks that you can reference?
I do. I collect books. You know, I don't have a digital library. It's kind of weird, even though I'm a digital person and I used to be a web developer. But when it comes to quilt books, I like the hard copies that I can flip through. Mm-hmm. So I have my absolute favorite quilt block book is the Encyclopedia of Pieced Quilt Patterns by Barbara Brackman.
Yes.
It's unfortunately out of print, but you can still buy secondhand copies. But it is just an amazing resource. She's done an amazing job in that book. It doesn't have directions for making the blocks, but it does tell you, you know, where they came from, how old they are. It's all cross-referenced. It's a very good book. I just got Judy Hopkins' 501 Rotary Cut Quilt Blocks.
Oh.
That book, I haven't made anything from it, but it looks amazing. It has different sizes you can make from all of these quilt blocks, traditional quilt blocks.
Mm-hmm.
I have, like, the Farmer's Wife Pony Club sampler book and a Japanese quilt block book, a collection of Nancy Cabot's blocks from her column she used to write for the Chicago Tribune. So I just, you know, when I see these collections of block books, even if there's no directions, you know, part of the fun and the challenge is figuring out how to make them, how to put them together, for me at least. So I really just enjoy having these books, being able to just flip through them, the hard copy.
So yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit like you. I've been doing digital books some and hard copies, but like the reference ones, I really, really want them hard copy. I really want to be able to pick them up and put them on the table and flip through the pages and have several of them open at once if I want
to. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't quite found the love for, you know, digital referencing yet.
Although if it's a novel, pictures. I read it on my, you know, Kindle. But these reference books, I just like having the hard copies.
Yeah. How are you documenting, speaking of digital and all that kind of stuff, how are you documenting your quilts?
Really, just my blog is my documentation. I don't have, I should have, you know, when I started quilting, started keeping all my original copies of photos and things. I guess it's never too late to start doing that.
Right.
But I just have, you know, my quilts page on my blog, and that's as much for me as it is for the people that visit my blog. It's just kind of like my personal journal and of what I've done, and
so is that the tab that says quilts on
your
Fresh Lemon Quilts? Okay. So
I try to keep it pretty up to date.
Oh, well, that's great. Yeah.
I
need to do something, too, that's a little bit more organized than the non-organization I have. That's one on my list. Maybe we can pinky swear and we can say we're going to do something.
That's right.
So let's, before we take the break, let's start talking about your book. We'll see if we talk about it if we have to go into the next part. But tell me about this book that's coming out, because I think it's fabulous. It's a collaborative book that you're doing with your friends.
Right.
So.
Yes, it's coming out this December with Interweave. My co-authors are Lee Heinrich of Freshly Pieced and Katie Blakesley of Swim Bike Quilt, and it focuses on modern traditionalism. And the title is Vintage Quilt Revival, 22 Modern Designs from Classic Blocks. So we kind of talked about modern traditionalism. It's a great way for people that are kind of interested in modern quilting, but they're not sure they want to take the plunge. They can start getting their feet wet, just taking these classic blocks and using them in, you know, fresh, unexpected ways. So we have 20 12-inch blocks, and we create projects, mostly quilts, but some other projects, from maybe changing the block size or the shape, maybe making it wonky, creating unique quilt layouts that are not just repeating grids, or using color in an unexpected way or an unexpected fabric, or combining blocks to make secondary patterns. Mm-hmm. And We have a lot of great projects. There's 19 projects because one has two blocks in it. And then we have three versions of a sampler that use all 20 blocks. We each did a version, our own design. So there's three versions of that. And then we
each
chapter, there's some design tips and history snippets. So you can learn a little bit about the history of, you know, some different aspects of quilting or pattern creation or the blocks or color or fabrics. So it's pretty great, I think.
Yeah, you know, I love it when people collaborate. But it's a little bit more work to organize.
Yeah.
How did you divide up the labor?
You know, we work really well together. We met when we did our summer sampler series about 2 years ago, and we've met in person several times, and I think our personalities and our styles just really mesh well together. And Lee and Katie are such talented and great people. I had no hesitation about working with them to write a book. You know, we just all designed different quilts, and they were all different, but I think, you know, worked well together for the book, and we just make a really great team, I think. So I'm real excited. We didn't have any, you know, it wasn't stressful about will our stuff sound right together. We had a great editor, great technical editor. So it wasn't as stressful as I thought. You know, the hardest part is that we all have young kids. So that was, you know, during summer, getting this all done last summer is when we made everything. So, you know, it's a long process. So that was probably the hardest part, just trying to figure out when to do things with the young kids. But
so do you have a favorite block in that book?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, hard.
Oh.
Picking a favorite child.
I don't know if I have a favorite block, but Lee has just an amazing quilt called the Sugar Snow Quilt, which I don't have a picture of it yet to show anyone. But the way she uses her block in that quilt, various sizes and scattering them throughout the quilt is amazing. That would probably be my favorite quilt in the book. It's not the quilt that's on the cover, but I'm really excited. She used the background as linen, and it's just gorgeous.
Oh, neat. I can't wait. December, that book is coming out.
Yeah, December, end of December.
Okay. And it's called Vintage Quilt Revival. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break, Faith. And when we come back, we're going to talk about community giving, because you are, you know, writing about that, and we all make charity quilts for one reason or another. So we'll be right back after the tunes with Faith Jones.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm here with Faith from Fresh Lemon Quilts. So, Faith, let's talk about community giving. You wrote about this recently because you decided to sort of be, like a point person, you know, and have a point spot on your blog for things that are going on for giving quilts and for people in need.
Right. Yeah, I wrote about this, I think it was in May. You know, I've always been really impressed by the amount of energy that the quilting community puts into charity and helping others, you know, like donating, making and donating items for charity auctions or Project Linus or the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. You know, there's always so much giving going on. But at that time, during the aftermath of the Boston Marathon bombings, and, you know, I think our whole country and a lot of the world was just in shock about what had just happened, and then was just rendered speechless by the huge response that came from the quilting community. Watching one person from the Vancouver, you know, in Canada, the Vancouver Modern Quilt Guild coming up with this idea of making flag bunting. You know, she said she was just thinking about it. How great would it be to see all these flags created from all over the world, you know, flying around Boston and coming up with this idea. And then in a very short amount of time, you know, a couple months, seeing thousands of flags flying in Boston at the Museum of Fine Arts, you know, the dream realized, one person's dream. And they received flags from, I think they said, every continent except Antarctica.
Wow.
Or the Quilts for Boston Quilt Block Drive, where last I checked, they had received 2,000 quilt blocks to make 100 quilts for the injured, people that were injured. It's just, it was so moving to see this dramatic response to something bad happening. And so, in such an immediate response, it's really easy, I think, when you see bad things happen to feel helpless. And we're a global community, so we see a lot of it. There's accidents and the natural disasters, or maybe something, you know, more malicious. So that can be, I think, really overwhelming. But then when you see the good coming out of people, you know, quilters especially are just such great people, I think, and such giving people, it's uplifting and it is empowering, you know.
And we all make quilts for charity at some point, whether it's for a disaster or our local, you know, fire hall. It's just, it's what quilters seem to do.
Right. Yeah, it really is. I'm hoping that this community giving page on my blog will be just a resource for people to come and see, because when things happen, you kind of want to help. You don't know where to look to help. And I get emails saying, can you announce this? Can you spread the word about this? So I thought this would be a good place for people to come see a current listing of ways that people can help. Some of these calls to action have deadlines and some are just ongoing.
Right.
So we have a couple recent additions going on right now, like 100. Encouraging people to make a quilt for a child in need in your local community. She has some other, you know, if you can't think of places in your local community to donate, she has some other links of, you know, Project Linus and things like that. There's also Cheryl Arkison has Just One Slab going on right now, which is making a slab quilt block, and she has some directions on her blog how to do that for quilts for southern Alberta, Canada, who's had all the flooding, the massive flooding going on.
Right.
So those are just two of the more recent additions of ways that people can help with current natural disasters or current kids in need. So I'm hoping, you know, people can email me their information, you know, their organization, link, a deadline, or if it's ongoing, and I'll just keep maintaining this page so people can go somewhere and one stop to see how they can help.
That's awesome. You know, it is nice to know now that there's one place where you're probably going to find what's current, you know, and where's the place that's, you know, you can send things to. Now, you also are a huge supporter of the 1 Million Pillowcase Project from American Patchwork and Quilting. You know, so we really thank you for that. We just hit 500,000 pillowcases. Yay.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's unbelievable when you think about that.
Yeah, totally, you know, it's an ongoing process until the 1 million count is done, and people can go to allpeoplequilt.com and register anytime you make a pillowcase. So like if you make a pillowcase for the Oklahoma tornado relief, you know, you put your quilt in a pillowcase you made, go and register that you've done that. So, and Faith has listed the link there. So thank you.
Yep. And it's on the page. So any information.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, let's change gears a little bit. You were talking about how your friends that you've written the book with, that you guys didn't, you know, you have met in person. So do you all live in different states?
Yes.
Yes.
Lee actually lives in Milwaukee, so she's not too far. I'm in Chicago.
Yeah.
And Katie lives in the D.C. area by you, I think.
Right. She lives by me. So, right.
Yeah.
I never see her, but
she lives
here.
We've been lucky enough to meet in real life through things like the Sewing Summit in Salt Lake City and QuiltCon. That was in Austin, Texas. And Lee and I have just met, since we live, you know, an hour and a half from each other, we've met for sewing weekends and things like that. But it's really fun when, you know, people might think you're a little crazy when you say, I'm going for a weekend away with my online quilting friends.
Yeah.
But really, you know, it's fun to be spend a weekend or some time with some like-minded people and just enjoy each other and see, you know, we may be met online, but we've become real friends.
I think it's like the old-fashioned.
Colleagues.
I think online friendships are like the old-fashioned, you know, letters that people wrote. I mean, you know, do you remember reading stories about people that go to war, you know, and they've wrote letters and, they get married and they'd only, you know, been hanging out for like a day before he went to war.
Now it's just more instant, you know, with the blogs and email and Flickr and really Instagram on people's smartphones where you can just post a picture of what you're doing at that instant. And you really feel like you're involved in other people's, in your friends' lives that you've made online, you know, not just their quilting lives, seeing works in progress, but, you know, getting new ideas or seeing their families, what's going on with their families this week. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's some lessons too. And, you know, it's just fun. It makes you feel like you're right there.
Yeah, I love Instagram.
Across the world.
Yeah, fun stuff to be able to share. Now, on your website, you do have a very generous set of, you know, tutorials and patterns that people can come, besides your own patterns that you publish. You are an author for, you know, single patterns as well. What is one of the tutorials people really like to take off of your site?
I get a lot of feedback on the paper piecing pattern, which I know you just talked about, or the paper piecing tutorials. I know you just talked to Amy about. That's a big one. Y seams is a huge one that I get a lot of people saying, thank you for showing me how to do Y seams.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because when I made that one, I was a little scared to do Y seams personally.
Yeah.
So I kind of self-taught, and someone on Twitter, I think, said, will you post a tutorial of that? And I said, okay. And I thought like three people would look at it, and I think that's one of my most popular tutorials now, is the Y seams.
Well, it's a little more challenging on the machine. I mean, I just did a piece with hand piecing, you know, it's very easy really with hand piecing, but on the machine, you just can't let the machine get away from you because then.
No, you have to take it slow, I think, but that's kind of my tip for everything and everything new you're trying is to, you know, take it slow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the fear of the unknown keep you from trying something new. You know, I always thought, I'll never paper piece that looks so hard. Mm-hmm. And then once you learn it, it's like, well, that's not hard at all. And you don't really have anything to lose by trying except a little time and a little scrap fabric.
That's
right. And then once you figure out how to do it, which you will, because if I can do it, anyone can do it, you'll be so happy. You have this new world of techniques open up to you. Mm-hmm. Partial seams too, like that's another thing that kind of scares people.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know, I taught that at Sewing Summit and everyone said, that's it, that's so easy, I can't believe I was scared to do that and learn that, and all of a sudden you have this huge new set of things that you can make.
Yeah, that's I love the partial seam one because we don't really make those very often.
Right.
And so people forget. I mean,
right.
Even if you did know, I mean, if you haven't done it for years, it's like, what do I do?
So I try to put a lot of pictures in my tutorials because I'm a visual learner. So I try to take pictures of, you know, every single step, and if I need to, you know, draw on the photo in Photoshop and put arrows in or make a note, I try to add those in because I think those really help.
I agree. The photos, I love step-out photos. They're the best. Mm-hmm. So what is your top paper piecing tip? Do you have another one? Because I know you also love to paper piece.
Yes. let's see. Don't forget to shorten your stitch length, obviously, and keep your seam allowance. You know, I liked Amy's tip of cutting your fabric pieces bigger. I know people don't like to waste their fabric, but I really don't like to pick out tiny, tiny stitches on paper piecing. In fact, I'd rather just throw the block away and start over.
Yes.
So just don't be afraid to cut your fabric big, just like she said. I know it's the same tip, but it's a good one.
It is a good one. Yeah. And I mean, do you paper piece often? Will you have paper piecing in your book?
Oh yeah, but the book's probably like 60% paper piecing. It comes with a CD, so you can just print out your paper piecing templates at home. You don't need to go to a copy shop and enlarge anything.
Okay.
So we're very excited about that because I also just use regular printer paper. Mm-hmm. And then just cut it out from there. But yeah, there's paper piecing. There's a paper piecing directions in the book, but they can, you know, people can also go to my blog if they like a lot of detailed photos. Mm-hmm.
That would be on your
if I can paper piece it. I mean, I would paper piece like a log cabin if I you know, I probably will. I do my flying geese paper pieced.
Oh my goodness!
I just love it. Everything gets exact. You know, it just everything looks perfect.
And is the tutorial for paper piecing on the tab that says tutorial?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It says patterns and tutorial, so I just want to be
right.
Sure. Okay, so real quick before we're done, is there a quilt you want to make? Like, do you have one on your list that you need to make?
You know, I'm about to start like a mini double wedding ring quilt.
Oh.
Not a huge one, but a smaller one for a blog hop. So that was probably on most quilters' bucket list and kind of on mine too. So I'm excited to kind of have the kick in the pants to get going on that quilt. So practice my curves.
Yes, I'm on that hop too, the double wedding ring.
Blast. I need some curve practice, so this will be my curve practice.
Fabulous. Well, Faith, this has been wonderful to have you on the show. Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. You can visit us at allpeoplequilt.com, where we have lots of tips and tutorials. We have a newsletter, so you want to sign up for our newsletter. We have a Facebook page and a Pinterest page. Also, I wanted to just note that right now, in July of 2013, we're doing a Pinterest challenge for the Million Pillowcase Challenge. So we'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.